I do love those older hymns that resonate from my childhood. Great is thy faithfulness. It's one of my favorites because it reminds me of God's faithfulness, right? I mean, it is so great. It is so good. It is new every morning. It is new every day. There's never been a day that the Lord has not been faithful to us. Let's ask God in his faithfulness just to speak to us today from the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis, in the first book of the Bible. Let's ask him just to kind of have a word for us. Father, would you speak clearly to us today. Give us your direction. Help us continue to know your calling in our lives. Give us vision and direction for this church. Help us as individuals and a people together. Stay in step with your spirit always. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, last week, if you were with us, we launched a new series of sermons that are on the life of Joseph. Joseph's a character in the Old Testament at the very beginning in Genesis, in the first book of the Bible. He was the son, one of the sons of a man named Jacob. Jacob was the grandson of a man named Abraham. So God had called out Abraham and his son Isaac and now Jacob, and the 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel that the whole Old Testament story is about. So this man is an interesting one. This guy, Joseph, is one of those 12 sons, and we realize that, well, God had some special things in his life and was giving some special direction in his life, but in the middle of that, we can learn some lessons that are about you, that are about what God has called us to do. And so I'm going to ask you a question, though. I don't know how well. Did everybody sleep okay last night? Okay. Evan's going, yeah, I'm good. Did anybody not? Some of us don't sleep as well, right? You got a little aches and pains. You got a little bit of that? I had some things that were kind of just hurting last night. I don't know if it's from the sailing or whatever. But do you have dreams? Do you have strange dreams? Do you have these ones like, what was that about? Juwan and I were talking about dreams. I said, yeah, I had this dream one time that, boy, my wife and I had a really big fight. And I woke up and I was just mad at her. I was just so furious. And my wife is like, how can you be mad at, I didn't even do anything. You just had a dream. It's not okay for you to be mad about a dream. Oh my goodness. We have these strange dreams. We don't know. Well, dreams in the Bible are significant. They have some different purposes, and some of them are very much, I think the people just had regular dreams like you and I have, but occasionally there were also these special dreams, and they showed some markers of importance. So here's three things that the dreams often did in the Old Testament. Some of the dreams were signs about the future, that God was revealing some stuff that he would do, and he would do in the nations, or he would do in the lives of individuals. Some of them were very clearly communications from God. They were like showing that God's presence is there, that he is speaking, that he is warning them of some things. And then other dreams, and this is kind of a weird one, but they would, in the ancient world, and I'm not just talking about in the Bible, I'm talking about the whole ancient world, they saw dreams as a marker of like, oh, you must be a true sage or a magi or a wise man of some type. So dreams kind of had those functions in the ancient world. We see these pop up in the Bible. Here's some big ones. And for Abraham, in Genesis 15, Abraham, this man called out by God, he had a dream that confirmed the covenant. Now, it was a weird one. I mean, it was a floating pot and a torch, but God was somehow confirming that I've called you, I'm going to bless you. God sent a specific warning to a Pharaoh in a dream that said, hey, don't mess with Abraham's wife or with Abraham. It was a protection dream. God does the same thing later for Jacob, showing this ladder comes down from heaven, that God was going to be with him and had a call in his life. Later, God indicates to Jacob's father-in-law, who is like kind of trying to catch him and kill him, don't mess with my servant Jacob. It was a protection dream. Later in the Old Testament, Daniel, who was one of these prophets, he had dreams, but he also interpreted other dreams. God would give him the meaning of those dreams to great kings about famines that would come or about disasters or kingdoms that would rise and fall. These kinds of things were spoken of to Daniel. In the New Testament, Joseph, right? The one who would marry Mary, the mother of Jesus, God sent Joseph a dream to say, yeah, this is from me. Go ahead. An angel speaks to him through a dream. Later, he speaks to the wise men who came to visit Jesus, warned them about King Herod. Peter has a dream in the New Testament, a dream of animals coming down in a sheet, and God tells them to eat from them. And he's like, no, this is weird. But it was a dream about correcting the racism in the early church and making sure that the gospel went to all nations. Paul has a dream, a vision of a Macedonian call, of God calling him out to different places. So we see this pattern in both the Old and New Testament that God can use dreams. That doesn't mean all dreams are from God. Like I said, some of them are just, you know, us. I think, does anybody take those little power naps? Anybody a power napper with me? Yeah, I pulled up onto campus the other day, and I had an extra 20 minutes. It was a power nap. It was a quick one. But I woke up, and there was all these pepperoni slices. And for some reason, we were trying to... And okay, that was just a power nap. That was just a quick dream. That meant nothing. I don't think there's anything about... we're not preaching about pepperoni today. But what I am going to preach about is listen to how God speaks. Amos, one of the prophets, says this in chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Or later in the same book, it says this in Amos 4. He who formed the mountains and creates the wind. He who, what? Reveals his thoughts to mankind. Who turns dawn into darkness and treads the high places of the earth. The Lord Almighty is his name. Brothers and sisters, friends, I got to tell you, man, we serve a God who makes himself known. You'll hear people talk about, oh, God is just a mystery. We can't know anything about God. No, God makes himself known. God has been revealing himself through the prophets, through dreams, through specific words, and ultimately through his Son. Hebrews chapter 1 says this, in the past, God has spoken to our forefathers at many times and in many ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He's spoken to us through his Son, who is the exact representation of his being. God is a God who speaks. He's a God who reveals mysteries. He's a God who tells us about what he is going to do in his plans. He is a God who tells us about his plan of salvation through Jesus. God hasn't left us in the dark. He's a God that reveals. That's a cool thing. Anybody else think that's a cool thing? Because so often I feel like I'm on my own. I got to figure out this life. And yet, God has shown. Okay, so let's talk about Joseph the dreamer. He's our topic of the day. He has some dreams in this first part of the story in Genesis 37. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, you can look on the screen. We'll have some verses for you. Beginning with verse 2, it says, this is the account of Jacob's family. So remember, Abraham, Isaac, now Jacob. He talks about one of the sons, Joseph. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending his flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Okay, do you already see the tension growing? Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other brothers. Everybody else seeing more problems growing? Pastor Barry emphasized that week. Because he had been born up to him in his old age, and he made him an ornate robe for him. Verse 4, and when the brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than any of the others of them, they hated him, and they couldn't even speak a kind word to him. Okay, let's just stop right there and go ahead and figure out that something's going on. We got family strife, family problems, we got issues, right? There's some stuff that's behind the scenes that they didn't even tell you about. Why did Jacob love Joseph more than the others? Well, it says because he was born in his old age. But you know the rest of the story, maybe, or maybe you don't. But remember, Jacob had two wives, and he loved one wife more than the other, and Joseph was the son of the wife he loved more than the other wife. Do you already see the tension? Did I tell you that the two wives were sisters? Anybody think this is a bad idea? Did I tell you? You saw the other names of the other ladies that were the mothers of the children? That the women who were the wives had handmaidens, and you were allowed to sleep with the handmaidens, and their children were kind of counted as the children of the main wives, just so you could have a bigger family? So now you're married to the two sisters and their two handmaidens, and so are one sons, well, you're the real sons, but you're sort of the second-class sons, but you're the, and I love this wife better than the, everybody thinking this is a bad idea? This wasn't God's idea, by the way. This isn't like, oh, God said, arise and marry the sister, and oh, yeah, marry her other sister. This is not God's idea. This is man. This is what we come up with. This is where we start thinking things. We start doing things that just make it all go messy. We get it all, discombobulated, all thrown together, all tangled. And we do these things, and then we ask, God, what's the big deal here? Why is this going wrong? Why are these problems occurring? Family messes. We create them. We're in them. We have them, and we've all got them. Yes, no, maybe. Yeah, we do. We do. We got to figure out how to let go of some of those old family hurts. Joseph's brothers could not speak a kind word to him. At some point, he just couldn't get forgiveness in there. They just couldn't get to a place where they're able to function together. It was kind of like, oh, here comes Joseph. You got to turn away. Here comes Joseph. We're going to ignore him. Here comes Joseph. Years and years and years and years ago, I had a couple students that were on a leadership team together. We have college ministry leadership teams. You guys know I do a lot of this kind of stuff. This was years ago in another state, far, far, in a galaxy far, far away, it feels like. So there's nobody, it doesn't resemble anybody here. But we had this couple that decided they would date. That's okay. But then about, I think it was 30 minutes later, the young man decides, man, never mind, let's not date. Okay, it wasn't 30 minutes, but it was probably like 2 days. She was upset. She was hurt, right? And understandably so. In every meeting we had together to plan, okay, guys, what kind of outreach events are we going to do? What kind of Bible studies are we going to do? If the young man said anything, like, well, I think we ought to, excuse me, you would think that. I guess, there's got to be someone to put a dumb idea out there. We got to get that out of the way. I mean, it would just, you could not have a kind word. It just, every single thing tore down. Brothers, forgiveness is key in our lives. Grace is key in our lives. We need it. We have it from the Lord Jesus. We have to extend it to one another. We have to get past some of these family hurts. This sermon is not primarily about that, but we will be talking about that a little bit more in our Bible studies. But we've got to work on forgiveness, repairing some relationships. Verse 5, it says this, Joseph had a dream, not just any dream, but a dream from God. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Now, wait a second. Why is this dream triggering? Why do they hate him more? We're going to get to that in a minute. But we've got to stop and realize that the revealer of mysteries, the God of the universe, the God who treads the high places of the earth, the God who is making himself known, was speaking into a family, was speaking into a people. He was speaking in a way that would reveal himself to the nations. God was doing what God was doing. God was doing what God always does. God doing what he intends to do for us, and that's reveal himself to us. For us, we have it in his son. Here, they're getting it through some dreams. What do we know about this revealer of mysteries? Dreams, number one point, dreams reveal truths about, I'm just calling God, the revealer of mysteries. Where do I get that? It comes from Daniel chapter 2. Remember that prophet who often interpreted dreams and who had dreams and God gave visions to? This one who God gave such incredible insight to? This man Daniel? He says this, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Your mind, he says to you, O King Nebuchadnezzar, the great king, your mind turns to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries has shown you what's going to happen. This happened in Joseph's life. God was revealing to him some things that would happen. So what do we learn? What do we learn about God? That God knows all things, even the future. God knows all things, even the future. In Isaiah 45, verse 21, it says, "Declare what is to be, present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there's no other besides me, a righteous God, a Savior. There is none beside me." He goes on in verse 9 of chapter 46. "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God. There is no other. I am God. There is none like me. And I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do what I please." I don't know if that like gives you a little heebies or like woo. But when God speaks, he's saying something that I know. I know the end from the beginning. I'm making it known to you. I'm declaring what has become my purpose. I'm going to finish that purpose. Now, guys, that gives me a lot of confidence, because we're living in a world that doesn't give me a lot of confidence. We're living in a world where threats to democracy or whatever are around. I mean, political assassination. I mean, we're all just grieved by that. We're in a world where there's still shootings in schools. Still. Somehow, I mean, how do we not get this under control? Where are we as a people? What's going on? Right, there is scary stuff. We're in a world where did this week the whole NATO and Poland and oh no, is there more intensity about the war in Ukraine? Is it going up another level? There is shaky stuff in this world. It catches me off guard. I was listening to some news people that were saying, we didn't even have time to discuss this big news issue when this big news issue is coming. It's coming so fast, we don't even know what to do this week. And what to focus on. I'm like, whew. Oh, but the revealer of mysteries, the God who is the God of heaven, my King, my Savior, guess what? He knows the end from the beginning. He already knows what's going to happen. My God knows. He's not caught off guard. He's not surprised. He's not freaked out. He's not quaking in his boots, wringing his hands. Oh no, what am I going to do now? My God has a plan. Your God has a plan. The revealer of mysteries, purposes will stand. And that God has a plan for you. It's not that he just has plans for the nations. It's not that he has just plans for how he's going to finish his plan of salvation. He has a plan for each of our lives. He has a plan for you. And guess what? He's going to finish it. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began the good work in you will bring it about into completion. He started it. He's going to finish it. He called you. He saved you. He's transforming you. He will finish this work. You will look like his son. You will be complete. He's going to finish the work in you. Here's another verse that kind of reminds me about his plan. Ephesians 2:10. It just says this. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What? To do good works which he's prepared in advance for you to do. God will finish the work in you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. He has a calling that is significant for you. I feel like that deserves a little bit of amens or something. I'm kind of excited about that. I am grateful that God just didn't leave me like, oh, make the best out of this messy world, but instead says he's got a plan. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for you. Okay. So now I feel like I got to say something, though. So how do we do with these dreams? How do we deal with these things that come, these visions that maybe people have? And sometimes I'm using different words, and okay, if you just took my exam, there's a word called equivocation where you're using the same word with kind of different meanings. And so I am doing a little bit of equivocation here. There's ideas of dreams that are literally you're asleep and have a dream. But then there's visions that God may have revealed while you might not be in a dream state. But there's also visions that we have, like, I got a vision for my family, or I've got a vision for where we're going as a church, or I've got a vision or a direction here. God also hopefully reveals those kinds of things, and even callings on our lives. Joseph's dream, we're going to see in a minute, was actually a reflection of a calling. Not just what God would do in the future, but what God was calling him to be in the future, and how he was going to use him in the future. So what do we do with these things? Well, I got a picture of a little crab on a beach ball there. It's not just because summer's over. I think we got to have a word of caution here. Sometimes in Christian circles, we will emphasize dreams or visions or kind of like almost like a let your mind kind of wander and just whatever pops into it. Maybe that's from God in a prayerful state. You got to be careful of this. Okay? I was part of church, and these are very genuine Christians who are seeking the Lord. But sometimes they begin to try to emphasize this, like we really want to hear from God. And we do. We want to hear from God. And God does reveal. We just talked about that. But they begin to kind of say, well, we'll get in prayer, and we'll get in prayer circles. Let's just kind of wait and just kind of let your thoughts go, and we'll just kind of see what God fills your thoughts. And we were praying for some people, and they're like, well, just let your thoughts go, and there's a couple of verses that came to mind, but I don't know if I have any dreams. And someone else said, well, I kind of thought of a tree that was having fruit and flourishing. And that is a biblical image of a tree that bears fruit and by the water. And if it stays in connected to God's word, oh, yeah, okay, maybe that's a good word for you. I shared the couple of verses. Here's some verses that I'm praying for you. Then a man who I like him, I appreciate him a lot. I just think he probably was drifting off into one of those little quickie naps, you know, kind of thing, because he began to say, well, I got to be honest, what I saw was like a crab on the beach, and it was messing with a beach ball. I don't know what it means. And I'm thinking, it means that you were asleep. That's what it means. What it means is that I don't think that was from God. There's no obvious truth. There's no significance to that. There's no, oh, this must be from the Lord. It's just a crab with a beach ball, buddy. And it's like my dream of the pepperonis, man. You don't go like, oh, God is calling us to have a pizza ministry. No, that is not it. That is not it. Be real careful that you filter any kind of thing like that. Like it might be a dream. It might be... Make sure you're filtering it through what? Anybody want to get an answer? Somebody's got the answer for this. You're like, I don't want to get it wrong. God's word. You already know this answer. It is God, the revealer of mysteries, has been speaking for thousands of years. He's revealed himself to the prophets. He's given us his son, and we have a record of who he is and what he taught. We have the record of the apostles giving instructions to the churches. Through his word, we're able to see and interpret maybe what we might think is from God, a vision for a church. What did we come up with as the vision for the church after we sought him this summer? Reach people, equip people, send people out in missions. That's what this has been saying all along. This wasn't some big giant revelation. We're going, because God doesn't change his mind. God's got a plan. God's faithful to accomplish his purposes. So of course what he's speaking to us is what he's already been speaking to us. It's an echo chamber, man, and it's a good one because God reinforces his calling. God reinforces his purpose. God reinforces the glorification of his son and his purpose of salvation in our lives. God is finishing a work. Brothers and sisters, I am so thankful that I've if you notice, I'm a little tongue-tied today. I don't know what the deal is. But I am so thankful that I've got a God who reveals and finishes the work that he began long ago. He's not changing directions. He's not got some new, oh, this is the event of the year. My God does not change. There is no shadow of turning with him. Great is his faithfulness. Well, I do want to speak for a second, though. Oh, yeah. So how do we approach this? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. Number one, we're not going to quench the Spirit. We do want to encourage God to speak and use however He wants to speak. We're not going to treat prophecies with contempt. It says that. But we are going to test them all. They need to be held on to the good parts, throw out the evil parts. If it's according to God's word, if it's connected to God's word, if it's in line with God's word, we hold on to it. If not, boy, we're going to treat it with perhaps a grain of salt, or maybe just drop it altogether. It seems the same things that's 1 John. In 1 John, it should say, and dear friends, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So how do we deal with these callings? Because here's what I really actually want to speak and focus on a lot today. We have these callings in our lives. We begin to see God call out young adults and older adults, and wherever we are in our life, God's got a purpose. God's got a calling for your life. How do we treat those things? Well, I want you to see in this story that dreams and callings actually test the heart of the dreamer. They test the heart of the one who is called. So flip on down to the dreams. Yeah, there it is. Dreams and callings, they test the heart of the dreamer. Here's what the dream was. Verse 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheath stood and rose upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Anybody agreeing with me that Joseph might not have been the smartest guy? You know, and the wisest of these young brothers. Hey, guys, guess what? I had a dream that all of you dudes were going to be subject to me someday. What a great thing. Why would he share that dream? Even if you had it, man, keep that one to yourself, buddy. What are you thinking, Joseph? What are you thinking? And, of course, they hated him all the more. Verse 8, his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? They hated him all the more because of the dream and what he said. You would think it might stop there, but look at verse 9. Then Joseph had another dream. And what did he do? Told it to his brothers, of course. Listen, he said, I had another dream. This time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Oh, you got to be kidding. The dreams and the callings test the heart of the dreamer. We so often make these dreams, these visions, and even these callings in our lives about our own ambitions, our own need for significance, our own insecurities even, and our own desires. You can flip it to this next slide. We sometimes think that this is what this is about. Joseph received this dream, and we're going to say that this was an important one, that he needed to know what God was speaking to him about in his life. This was important for him. But you know what was not important? For him to make it known to his brothers. But instead it's like, hey guys, I think God's got a call on my life. Hey guys, I think, you know, some of you, you know, I'm sure God's got something for you, but I got an extra special one. Do you see what I'm saying? Joseph made this about himself. Joseph began to say, hey, not like, guys, help me figure this out. God, seek the Lord with me. He knew what it was about. He knew this had something about his future. He knew that this was something about he would be lifted up. And he's going to say, look, hey, guys, I just want to share that with you. He didn't need to. He should have kept it to himself. But instead, he allowed his own pride, his insecurities, his ambitions to push him. You all saw the movie The Incredibles, right? And The Incredibles 2, right? And you remember the hero and the villain? The villain was always like trying to make everybody else have superpowers, because if everybody would have a superpower, then no one would be super. We would all just be normal. We'd all just be regular. You realize it's about significance. We want to feel chosen or significant or special. We want to feel like we've got that extra something that makes us have worth. Everybody who's listening to me, listen to this. You have worth. That worth is in the sole fact that the God of the universe sent his Son to die on a cross for you, rise again, give you an inheritance and eternal life. That is a grace of God. We are dust. We are nothing. We don't deserve it. But God loved us. Why? I don't know, but he just does. That gives me all the worth I could ever have. I can't earn that. I can't have any achievements about that. If I'm the greatest scientist in the world, God made the world. You're not teaching him anything. If I'm the greatest leader in the world, are you kidding? God orders the steps of nations. I'll never out-order be a better leader than God. There's nothing that I'm going to impress him with. There's nothing I'm going to do to earn significance or worth in his eyes. God just bestows worth on you, and that is an incredible gift. We cannot... That's the Incredibles, right? That's the incredible gift. Instead, we try to turn these things into being about us, God's callings, his gifts. In James 3, it says, but if you harbor envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or even deny the truth. But such wisdom does not come from heaven. It's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. When I've got pride in a calling, when I've got pride in the places God is using me, when I've got somehow this sort of thinking I'm makes me have worth or gives me a better place. Guys, that is, what does he say? Demonic. That's Satan having an influence in a way in my life. He goes on to say this, for where there is envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Our pride in callings, our pride in giftings, our pride in our service. And I'm not just talking about like the regular pride, like, oh yeah, this is good, thank you God. I'm talking about, well, this is really making me better than others. It's that kind of stuff that causes disorder and every evil practice. Dreams test our heart. They tested Joseph, and at this point, Joseph was more about himself than he was about trying to repair the relationships with his family. It was more about himself than learning to serve. Now, don't worry. God's going to finish his work in Joseph's life. God's going to teach him to be a servant. But there's one last thing I want you to see about God's call in your life. Is that dreams and callings challenge us as God's people to respond correctly. Challenge God's people to respond correctly. Look at what it said in verse 10. When Joseph told his father, as well as his brothers, about this dream about the sun and the moon bowing down to him, what does it say? His father rebuked him, and I think as he should. Joseph, you should have kept that to yourself, buddy. Joseph, what are you doing? He says, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to you in the ground before you? Come on. Verse 11, his brothers were jealous, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now, he rebuked him, and I think that was right, but he also realized, hey, there may be something going on here. Maybe God does have a calling on his life. Now, I don't know if you know the rest of the story, but here's how it goes. Verse 12, the brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks. Israel said to Joseph, hey, as you know, your brothers are grazing their flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them. Very well, he replied. So Joseph went after his brothers, found them near Dothan, but they saw him in a distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. This had gone badly. Verse 19, here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him. Throw him into one of these cisterns and say a ferocious animal has devoured. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Okay. I don't think they were responding correctly here. Dreams and callings do challenge us to respond correctly. On this next slide, it says this. Instead of being angry or jealous or hateful, we need to respond with encouragement and support. As we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5, don't quench the spirit. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. We test them. But in 1 Timothy 2:1, look at this. For this reason, Paul says to Timothy, that younger leader, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. We need to take these young adults. We need to take older adults who are feeling this call into God and find ways to encourage that. Send them in on mission trip. Give them opportunities to lead in the congregation, helping them with leading Bible studies on campus. I'm speaking to all the guys, but I'm speaking to you guys too. Encourage each other as you see gifts, not in jealousy, but like, how is God using this person or that person? We need to respond by encouraging. But lastly, we need to respond as a church, as a college ministry, as a group. We need to respond with biblical direction. Biblical direction. Here's what else Paul tells Timothy. Go to that next slide. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, here's a trustworthy saying. Whoever has aspirations or aspires or desires to be a pastor, overseer, ministry leader, wow, they desire a noble task. Encourage that. That's great. But look at the next verse. That person, the overseer, has to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Here's the thing. We've got to encourage character development. That's the biblical direction. You want to be a pastor? Great. Are you becoming the right person that God can use? You want to be a worship leader? Great. Are you becoming a person after God's own heart that seeks his glory above all else? You want to be a missionary? Great. Are you becoming someone who has great faith that will stand the challenges and the tests as you faithfully make God known? You want to be a servant and a friend and a helper and a great. Become the person God has called you to be. Allow God to open the doors. This chapter ends by just saying this. What happened to Joseph? Well, he got thrown into a pit. They didn't kill him, but they sold him. They sold him to a traveling band of slave traders and ended up, here's the last verse. So he ended up where? The Midianites sold Joseph to Potiphar in Egypt, one of Pharaoh's officials and the captain of the guard. All of a sudden, this guy with big dreams was now a slave. What was going to happen to him? Well, we'll see. But here's the thing. The dreams were important for Joseph to remember that God had a call on his life. The dreams were not for Joseph to make himself look big or great in other people's eyes. They had a purpose to give him confidence about the future. You know, we are called to be those who rely on the faithfulness of God. We are called to be those who realize that our worth is not in our calling, but in our salvation and love of God in our lives, not in specific tasks that he gives us to do. We need to be those who faithfully serve and encourage the growth of others so that they might be the people God has called them to be. But all of that begins with a relationship with Jesus. If you've never said yes to him, maybe today is your day. If you've never said, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me for my sins. I want to experience this calling. I want to experience this relationship. I want to know you because you are the revealer of yourself. You are the revealer of the great mystery. You have made yourself known. I want to say yes to you. If that's you today, would you respond? Would you just say yes? The music team's going to come and lead us in one more song. As they do, it's a time of decision. You can sit. You can come to the front if you want to talk to one of the pastors. You can respond any way, but don't leave this place without saying, God, have your way in me. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the calling. Thank you for the calling that was on Joseph's life, but thank you for the calling that you've given to each of us. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for salvation that is in his name. Lord, I ask that you would continue to make our church a sending church. Help us do the work of reaching and equipping. Lord, finish your work in us. Finish your work through us. And finish the work that you have for us to do in the world. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You respond as God is calling you.